War has played a key role in the history of the United States, from the nation's founding right down to the present. War made the U.S. independent, kept it together, increased its size, and established it as a global superpower. Understanding America's wars is essential for understanding American history. Welcome to Key Battles of American History, a podcast in which we discuss American history through the lens of the most important battles of America's wars. Here is your host, James Early.
Hello and welcome to another special bonus episode of Key Battles of American History. I recently sat down and had a conversation with Chris Mowry. Chris Mowry, as you may know by now, is the host of the newest podcast in the Parthenon Podcast Network, and that is Vlogging Through History. I released a special episode about 2 weeks ago in which I gave you a little clip of Chris's episode on Sergeant Alvin York, and I've been wanting to have him on the show and interview him for a very long time, but for a variety of reasons, it has taken several months, but I finally was able to do that. In this interview, we talk about how Chris became a history fanatic, how he started his YouTube channel, which is an amazing channel. It's got over 300,000 subscribers. Very, very good channel, which I highly recommend. It's a really cool story of how he developed that channel and how he grew it. And we talk about some of the other things I like to talk about with other content creators, including what are his greatest difficulties, the challenges, the greatest rewards and blessings that he's received, and just his view of history teaching through new media, through places like podcasts and YouTube videos and things like that. He's a great guy, and I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. But before I close this intro, I have to let you know that the audio quality for about the first 10 minutes is not the best in the world. It's a little bit spotty at times. Chris was having some Wi-Fi issues, but we got those squared away. We re-recorded a good chunk of the episode, but we were not able to do the first 10 minutes again. So I apologize for that. I would urge that you stick it out. I know it's kind of annoying when one of the people on a podcast is cutting in and out, but stick with it. You'll be glad you did. Thank you, and here is my interview with Chris Mowry. Hello, and welcome to another special bonus episode of Key Battles of American History. This is your host, James Early, as always, and I am super-duper excited this morning to have a very special guest, a man that I really like a lot, and I've been trying to get on my show for several months, but he's a very busy man. He travels a lot, and it's hard to land him, but I finally did, and he's finally been able to take some time out of his busy schedule to appear on the show. And that is Chris Mowry. Chris is a motivational speaker, a part-time Church of Christ pastor, a husband and father of three, and a lifelong history fanatic. He hosts three YouTube channels, including the highly popular Vlogging Through History channel, which has over 300,000 subscribers. And he has recently started a podcast on the Parthenon Podcast Network, the network that I'm a part of, as well as several other great podcasts. And the podcast is also called Vlogging Through History. And it's a really great podcast. I've recommended it before, and I'm going to recommend it again. Definitely want to check that out, listeners. So, Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, doing pretty good. Getting excited about a trip to the UK next week. So, like you said, with all the travel, traveling again next week. So,
yeah. This man's life song is leaving on a jet plane, I think.
Yep.
Well, all right, we're going to get right to it, Chris. I'm sure the listeners would like to know a little bit about you. I feel like I know you. I've never met you face-to-face, and this is the first time we've actually spoken, but I've been following your channel for 2 years now, and I've watched nearly all of your videos, and I've listened to all your podcast episodes. I feel like I know you, but I know a lot of our listeners may not. So one thing that interests me is, how did your passion for history begin? When and how did you first develop a passion for the subject of history?
Yeah, so I'm in my mid-40s now, and I was 8 years old when they found the Titanic at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Robert Ballard, I think it was 1985, and when that happened, and that was all over the news, I just, for some reason, thought it was interesting, and I went down to the library. These are the days before the internet. Went down to the library and started getting books about the Titanic and just read everything I could about it. And that began kind of this thirst for knowledge of all things history that I had. And anytime I learned about a new topic, I would just consume everything I could about it. A few years later, Ken Burns' Civil War documentary came out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, fantastic. And that began my lifelong obsession with the American Civil War, which is probably the topic that is of most interest to me. And I've probably spent the most time studying. So it just kind of, I don't know, as a kid, I just found myself, anytime I was introduced to a new topic in history, I found myself wanting to know more. And, you know, when a movie would come out like Braveheart, you know, and obviously Braveheart's not necessarily completely historically accurate, but after I watched that movie, I spent the next 3 weeks learning everything I could about William Wallace. And it's just kind of just part of my nature, I guess, is that I just get interested in something and read all I can about it. So I've been obsessed with history ever since.
Oh, that's great. Now, we're going to talk about your main YouTube channel, Vlogging Through History. And I'll have to tell you a little bit of how I discovered you. I don't watch tons and tons and tons of YouTube videos, but I do sometimes watch some history ones. And I've watched people like Mr. Beat and The Cynical Historian and Atten Shea and some other people. And I, one day, Chris, you just popped up on my list of recommended videos, and it was one of your early reactions to Atten Shea. And of course, he's always lively and a little controversial. Yeah. You know, he's very opinionated, never has trouble with sharing his opinion. And I thought, and said, historian reacts to Atten Shea's blah, blah, blah. I think it might have been the one about gods and generals or something. So that was a lively one. So I pushed play and thought, wow, this guy is incredible. And I just started going through your entire catalog, so to speak. And Chris does a lot of different types of videos on his YouTube channel, listeners. He does reactions to other historians, other history YouTubers, programs, and those are really great. And what I like about what you do, Chris, is you actually add content. You add context and more background, and you dive a little deeper. Most reactions, if you look at just YouTube in general, most reactions are people just going like, whoa, or dude, yeah. Oh man, I didn't know that, you know, just making faces. But Chris is a lot more of an intellectual approach, but he's also, you know, he brings humor into it and personality, and it's really great. So, but tell me about how I've heard you tell this story of how you started and grew your channel several times, but it's a great story and it bears repeating. So tell me the story of how you began your channel. Why did you start it? And then how did it, you kind of had a change in format for a while, at least forced on you, so to speak. Yeah. And then it just took off. So tell me about that.
So I my original YouTube channel was a strategy gaming channel that I started back in December 2016. And I did that because I travel and speak for an organization called Rachel's Challenge, where we talk about kindness and compassion. I work for the family of a Columbine victim. And, but that's not kind of a full-time year-round thing. So I was looking for something to kind of supplement my income. I wasn't traveling for that. And I found that when I would travel for Rachel's Challenge, I would record just little vlogs of myself visiting historic sites. And so in addition to the strategy gaming, I started uploading some of those historic site videos, but they were really kind of just me doing it for fun. It wasn't really anything serious. And so in 2020, I decided to make a separate channel called Vlogging Through History, where I would put all of those vlogs from historic sites. And of course, right about the time I started the channel is when COVID hit and shut down all the travel. So I wasn't doing any travel. So that channel sat there, basically. I uploaded a few older videos onto it, but it really had nothing to do. And some people on my gaming channel suggested, well, why don't you do reaction videos to other people's historic content, or in particular, this Swedish metal band called Sabaton, who does all their songs are about history. And it just took off. It just blew me away because I never had any intention of doing reaction videos. It wasn't something I was really interested in. I didn't really care about other people's reaction videos. but apparently it worked. My gaming channel, after 2 years, I had 4,000 subscribers. Within the first 6 months of Vlogging Through History, I had one day where I got 3,200 subscribers in one day.
Oh, wow.
It took me almost 2 years to get that many on the other channel. And so there was just something that clicked with the reactions that people just loved. And so I just kept doing it. And the more I did it, the more it seemed to grow. And I started doing daily reactions in December of 2020, and I hit 100,000 subscribers in May. And then I think in September, I hit 200,000 subscribers. So it was just insane. I can't put my finger on it, but apparently it works.
Yeah, that's great. How did you decide what specific, or how do you decide what specific topics your channel would cover? I know, obviously, history, but and I know there's certain areas of history that you are very knowledgeable about. Others, you're not as comfortable talking about. But so let's talk about that.
So the first criteria for me is I need to feel like I have something I can add to the content. I don't want to be like what you, one of those people is just, wow, interesting. Oh, you know, I want to be able to add something. And so most of the time I'm choosing a little something about my early stuff was about the American Civil War, World War One, stuff like that, British medieval. So that's the first thing. But then as time went on, as the channel grew, we're making suggestions from people and people would recommend video to me. And I'll do a talk I don't know anything about. Just go to my channel, the banner across the top is history to get kind of sell away that, listen, we're all learning together. And as much I might know about a topic, there's still going to be something to learn from this. And we're going to learn from each other. And sometimes people write stuff in the comments that I didn't know. And so I'll learn from people who are members of our YouTube community too. So that's the main thing, is it's got to be something I'm interested in. It's got to be something I feel like I can add something to the conversation.
Now that's really great. I like that thing you have at the top, learning through history together. It's not just like you presenting lectures. It's you leading and facilitating a discussion. That's really great. Yeah. Another thing I appreciate about it, what you're doing. And you've had all kinds of different types of content. You know, you've done as your, I guess your bread and butter has been the reaction video. You react to several different channels, many of which are very, very good. And then you've also done reactions to Sabaton videos and then Sabaton history. Mm-hmm. And my favorite, though, I have to say, are your original. I'm probably in the minority on this, but I like your ones where you go out to a battlefield and you show us the site and this is what happened here. And then here's the grave of the person and you tell the life story of that. I love those. It seems like you get the most watch, the most views, though, on your reactions. So why do you think that is?
I wish I knew. That's what I said. It's baffling to me because my passion is to do those historic site videos. And that was why I created the channel, was to do those. But yeah, they don't. I mean, they don't get nearly the views that the reactions do. I honestly have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
And the people that watch the historic site videos tell me how much they really enjoy them, but they just don't get nearly the clicks. Like, people don't even click on those videos to watch them in the first place. But when people do watch them, I'll get a lot of people tell me, you know, I haven't watched any of your original content before, but now that I have, oh man, it's so good. Like, you know, if I could just get people to actually watch it, I feel like they'll enjoy it. But that's the hard part, is getting them to actually watch it.
Yeah. Okay. So listeners, definitely check out Chris's channel and watch some of the on-site videos where he's actually on battlefields and places, especially historic places. Well, entirely historic places, of course, but I love the World War One series in particular. I love the Vicksburg series. Chris, you've been doing this YouTube channel for a while now, a couple years. What have been the greatest difficulties and or challenges you have faced in creating and producing your channel? James here, and now a brief word from our sponsors.
Yeah, one of them is, I would say, just trying to keep it fresh and keep it original. And, you know, when I do daily content, eventually after 2 years, that's hundreds and hundreds of videos. And it's tough to find topics I haven't really covered yet, and keeping it interesting by, you know, not going back to the same stuff over and over again, because I can tend to fall into a rut because, you know, I know a lot about the Civil War, for example. So I find myself kind of falling back over to the American Civil War. Stuff like that. So keeping it fresh, keeping it interesting by covering new topics, I think is part of it. The other thing that I think has been increasingly more challenging is that as the channel grows, it's more difficult to stay connected with the audience. You know, a lot of people, I think when they first found the channel, what drew them to the channel was our community that we have. And the fact that, you know, I pride myself on the fact that I read every single comment on every single video. And as the channel grows, you know, 300,000 plus subscribers now, it's harder and harder to do that. It's harder to respond to messages that people leave for me. And it's also difficult to sometimes I think deal with the jerks that are out there, which they exist in any community. You have 300,000 people watching your videos. Eventually somebody's going to come around that just doesn't like you and just wants to be a jerk. And you have to have a thick skin. You have to kind of just let that stuff roll off of you and move on with your life and not let it get to you too much.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem that all of us, as they say, content creators deal with. I get plenty of one-star reviews of my podcast. Not too many, but most of the time there you read them and it's just like, are you even listening to the same podcast that I'm putting out? You just shake your head sometimes, you know, and like I do a lot of movie reviews because I love movies like you do. And I do these in-depth discussions, but I don't just talk about the movie. We talk about the history behind it and we kind of correct the things that are wrong. And anyway, and I get reviews, 5 stars. Oh, this is great. I love these movies. I love your discussions. And then another one the other day, 3 stars, you know, movie reviews suck. Why are you doing this? You know, you've ruined the channel. Dude, I didn't say that's all I'm doing for the rest of the time. I am going to go back to Battle series very soon. But anyway, yeah, it's like you said, you got to let it roll off your back. You got to be pretty tough and not let it bother you too much. And yeah, to your point about, I want to react to what you said about the channels. You've opened my eyes to a lot of really cool history channels that I had never even heard of, like Kings and Generals and Lemino and some of the other ones, Extra History and Oversimplified. I think you've done all the Oversimplified now. Like you passed them up. They need to get it moving so you can do more reactions. But anyway, so on this flip side of that, what are the greatest rewards that you derive from your channel?
It's a completely unexpected one. And I alluded to it a minute ago. It's the community. When I started the channel, the last thing I expected was how much I would come to love the community that got built around the channel. But that's really what's happened. It's having all of these other people who have the same passion for history that I do and being able to interact with them and being able to learn from them. Because, you know, if I do something about the Roman Empire, for example, I know a little bit about the Roman Empire, but not a lot. But man, I'll get the people coming out of the woodwork for whom the Roman Empire is their passion in history. And so I've learned a lot from them, you know, and also getting to meet other content creators, people like you who I've been able to connect with and kind of, even though we haven't met in person, get to know as friends. And there's this whole community of content creators that are out there. Folks like Matt Beat, Mr. Beat, who I've never met him in person either, but has become a friend and we've talked quite a bit. And JD from History Underground, who I consider a good friend. And so that's been, I think, probably the greatest thing for me is just the community I've gotten to build.
Yeah, there's so many great people out there. And without what we're doing, we just wouldn't meet them. We'd never get to know them. And we learn from them. And I think it's cool how sometimes when you go out to a site like Vicksburg or something like that, you have meetups, like you have people that show up and walk around with you on the battlefields and you get to know them. That's really cool. I'm hoping you'll come down to Texas again sometime. We could meet up, or maybe I need to go to Ohio. You know, I've actually, as of now, we're recording this in June of 2022. I'm 54 years old and I've never been to Ohio. So
really?
Probably need, never been there. It's like one of 5 U.S. states I've never been in. I don't know why. I just haven't had a cause to do it. So
plenty of history here.
So. Yeah, life goals. Maybe one day I'll get up there. All right. So let's see. Now let's transition into the podcast. We've been talking about your YouTube channel, which we talk about that all day. I just love it so much. And I watch it almost every day. And when I don't, I get caught up. But let's talk about the podcast now. So I will say to the listeners that in the Parthenon Podcast Network, we're always looking for new talent, so to speak. We're looking for people that have a good podcast idea and can deliver it well. And my, our lead podcaster, Scott Rank of History Unplugged, which is a fantastic podcast. He gets thousands of downloads every day. He gets like 25,000 a day. He's been doing it a long time. And Scott and I have done several series together. And Scott would ask us, do you know anybody that you think would be good for a podcast? And I said, hey, there's this guy that does a YouTube channel that I love. You got to get in touch with him. And finally, we got you all linked up. And, you know, thank God you have started your own podcast. So how, How has starting a podcast and doing a podcast differed from starting a YouTube channel? I mean, other than the obvious, one's video, one's audio, but talk about that.
Well, it's actually been I think there's a freedom in the audio with the podcast that I don't have with the YouTube channel, because with the YouTube channel, if I'm covering a topic, I have to create visuals to go with that topic too. And I think that limits it, because it takes a lot more work for me to be able to do that, or I need to go to the site to do it. And there's a lot of editing involved and stuff like that. There's some freedom with the podcasts because I can go more in depth and kind of expand on a topic without feeling like I've got to limit it because I've got to come up with all the visuals to go with it. So I've actually taken some of the very topics that I covered on my YouTube channel, like the historic site videos, and just gone much more in depth with those in the podcast.
James here, and now a brief word from our sponsors.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant what you're doing, because I loved your videos from World War One and Alvin York, Lost Battalion, Accrington Powells, and I love the way you're telling that story, but putting in a lot more personal quotes from people that were involved and other information, and just really fleshing it out, which you're not able to really do on your YouTube channel. I know you got to keep your videos fairly short. You don't want them to be super duper long, but you can make a podcast, you know, a podcast can go up to an hour, sometimes a little less. I mean, I know some people do, like Dan Carlin does these 3, 4, 5 hour long, but we're not Dan Carlin. You know, we can't get away with that. We need to keep ours fairly short or people will zone out. And so, yeah, I like what you're doing, and I can't wait to hear more. All right. So this has gone really quickly. You're a man of few words.
Well, you know,
I ever told you that before.
Well, here's the thing with my job with Rachel's Challenge, I do a lot of TV interviews, and I've had to learn, like with my answers, I keep them short for sound bites. And I think I've just conditioned myself that way because of that.
Yeah. I've interviewed other people, and some of them just go on and on and on, and you're like, okay, time out. Oh man. So next question. But anyway, I appreciate that. Okay. So final thoughts. What are some final thoughts, if any, you would like to share about your background, your experience, your podcast, your YouTube channel, anything? The mic is yours. Take your time.
Okay.
Take your time.
Well, you know, you mentioned a minute ago about the quotes, the personal stuff and things like that. And I think something I've been finding lately with history that has really become a passion of mine, and you see it come across in my historic site videos, and you hear it in the podcast, is finding those stories that we haven't heard before. You know, like I can study the Battle of the Somme and say, oh, okay, there were 20,000 British soldiers killed on July 1st, 1916. And those numbers can kind of, you can get desensitized to them a little bit, but then you start reading stories about a 16-year-old kid who was killed, and his sister getting a letter that she wrote to him returned with the words "killed in action" written on the front of the envelope and things like that. Or, you know, reading quotes from guys who talk about what it was like marching to the front lines and dealing with the shelling and then going over the top that morning. To me, that's what makes history come alive. And that's what I've really been focusing on a lot lately, is stories we, you know, about events that we know, but maybe stories from those events that we don't. It makes history more interesting. And I think for me, it goes back to, along with history, something else that's been a lifelong passion of mine is family history, genealogy. And one thing I found a long time ago when I started researching my family history was that when I found out that I had a family member who was involved in a particular historic event, it made that event come alive and become more personal to me. You know, finding out that my great-great-great-grandfather marched with Grant down into Vicksburg, and then to go to Vicksburg and stand in the very spot where the 20th Ohio Infantry was, or to go to the 14-mile creek at Raymond and stand in the spot where his unit just suffered horrendous casualties on the front lines. You know, it made that history much more personal and come alive to me. And so I've tried to find those stories anywhere that I go with history now. And I think you'll probably hear a lot of that in the podcast, is a lot of just that personal stuff. Cause for me, that's what makes history really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Just putting yourself in the shoes of just a regular person, a common person. And so many of these people were so young and had their whole lives before them and had that snuffed out. I try to do the same thing in my podcast, as well as my teaching. When I teach my college classes, I teach only a survey course. So, you know, you have one semester to get from Columbus to the end of Reconstruction, you know, and you don't have that many hours to do it. And then the next semester is like end of the Civil War down to the present time. I only go to about 2004 or so, but, you know, so you don't have much time. Like when I teach on the Battle of Gettysburg, it's maybe 10 minutes, you know, and that's criminal. It's just awful. Yeah. But I do like from time to stop and camp out on something and tell these little stories. Like I always, when I teach about the Battle of Shiloh, I tell the story of how Albert Sidney Johnson was riding along and then starts kind of wobbling in the saddle and then falls out and they take off his boot and it's full of blood. And then he's gone in just minutes. And my students are like, wow, that's amazing. And I get a lot of comments saying you make it really personal and, you know, more interesting than just names and dates and casualty figures and things like that. So yeah, that's the way history needs to be taught. And I think you do a great job of it.
One of the things, that I love too about being able to do my historic site content when I go to those places is that my perspective always changes on history when you actually go there to the spot. You know, you live in Texas. So for me, when I went to Dallas and I stood in the site where President Kennedy was assassinated, my perspective on that event completely changed because it's so much smaller than it appears on TV, that area. You know, going to a place like Shiloh and seeing how basically from where the Confederates started their attack up to Pittsburgh Landing, where the Union made their final stand, it's just completely uphill the entire time. And it completely changed how I viewed that battle to see how tough the terrain was the Confederates were attacking over. And so I love making those historic site videos because I try to bring that sense of perspective to people and try to explain what I'm experiencing as I see it so people can understand a little bit better what this event was like from standing there.
Yeah, it really makes all the difference in the world. I recently took my oldest daughter to Vicksburg, and it was so eye-opening. I had been there, but it had been 30 years, and I'd forgotten a lot of things, and it was just incredible to see that terrain and think, wow, you want us to attack that? You know. So anyway.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. So, Chris, thank you so much for coming on after we finish recordings, if you would stay on just for a few minutes. Sure. I'm going to close out this episode. Listeners, definitely check out, as I've mentioned several times, and I'm going to say it again, Vlogging Through History, the YouTube channel, as well as the podcast. I know that if you like my podcast, you will enjoy those as well. Thank you for joining us. Chris, thank you for coming on board and talking to me. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. And we will close out this episode, and we will see you listeners in our next episode.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Key Battles of American History is a proud member of the Parthenon Podcast Network, which includes several other podcasts, including History Unplugged by Scott Rank, Beyond the Big Screen and History of the Papacy by Steve Guerra, This American President by Richard Lim, Eyewitness History by Josh Cohen, and Vlogging Through History by Chris Mowry. If you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to check out these great podcasts. If you would like to support this podcast and help it to grow, there are four things you can do. First, you could subscribe to the podcast and leave a review on the podcast player of your choice. This helps other people to find the podcast. Ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts are especially helpful. Second, join our Facebook group, American History Fanatics, where we discuss the episodes of this podcast, as well as other topics related to American history. Third, tell as many friends as you can about the show. And fourth, you could join the elite unit called Early's Raiders by going to patreon.com and searching for Key Battles of American History. There are five different levels of support to choose from. Each level allows you to have early access to ad-free episodes. Higher levels bring additional benefits, including bonus episodes and even the ability to commission episodes on topics of your choosing. Before I close, I would like to give a shout out to the current members of Early's Raiders. Thanks to Majors Chris C., Anna Concepcion Castro, Brandon Cuckler, Mike Leslie, Bob McCullough, Melissa Mueller, Doug Pergram, and Jacob Thomason. Captains Ryan Apashian, Blue Ridge 201, Alex Calabrese, Alex Coombs, Grant Holmstrom, Jeff Henley, Stephen James, Jose Martinez, Tim Moon, Mike Rollison, David Santee, and Michael Severino. And to Lieutenants Patrick Brennan, Sean Burrell, Matthew Christensen, Ronald Cohen, Craig Didier, Roger Douglas, Scott Hendricks, Hoosier Daddy, David Lueza, and Jeff Sabo. I greatly appreciate your support.
Thank you for listening to Key Battles of American History. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast catcher. And please be sure and spread the word about the show. If you can spare a few minutes, rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts. This greatly helps us to reach more listeners. And for show notes, maps, and further discussion, visit our website at www.keybattlesofamericanhistory.com. Thank you, and we look forward to joining you again in the next episode of Key Battles of American History.